I'm Mark Brazell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Evan Weiss, also known as Bike Snob NYC, talks to Thane Maynard this morning about his new book, The Enlightened Cycler.
It's great to interview you. I have heard for years about Bike Snob NYC, and here you are.
Oh, really?
And you know what's neat about it? Obviously, I don't live in New York. I have a daughter who lives in Brooklyn. She rides her bike there. But really, I've heard from people here in the Midwest. I've heard from people all over. So it's interesting how people get reached. And now, not just on a blog site, but in a fancy book by Chronicle Publishers, you're out with The Enlightened Cyclist.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell me this. I know you get a lot of feedback on your blog site. What's the response to the book been, Evan?
The response has been it's been good as far as I can tell. I haven't heard too many people tell me that it's terrible, so I'll take that as a good sign.
Well, you know, I read all the time in the New York Times that I guess they now even have a bike czar, a woman who's trying to increase bike lanes and bike paths, with some controversy, but it seems like there are more cyclists every time I go up to New York.
Well, we have someone who's in charge of the Department of Transportation, and she's been very good about incorporating bike lanes into the infrastructure. We're getting a bike share program. All of these things have been happening with her, and it's exponentially better place to ride a bike now, New York. It's always been a good place to ride a bike, but now just for the casual cyclist, the person who just wants to use a bike to get around for transportation, it's so much easier and more accessible here.
Absolutely. I know when I've gone to New York, like lots of other towns, I'll end up renting a bike. And for most folks that have been to New York, you know, if you're up on the Upper West Side near the Natural History Museum, my favorite museum, by the way, or you're over in Brooklyn, I mean, it's very comfortable bicycling in some of those neighborhoods.
Yeah. Like any place else, it has its comfortable parts and its not so comfortable parts. But recently it's just getting better and better and integrating all of that and making it even easier to ride between those neighborhoods is what's been going on.
Well, you know, in your book, and I'm assuming also on your blog site, you do explore the thing that everybody has experienced, which is there are behaviors that car drivers do that annoy cyclists, and of course there are behaviors that cyclists do that annoy drivers. And I'm sure you get a lot of feedback on that question too, because anybody who rides a bike a lot, as I do, we all have stories almost every time we go out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no matter how you get around, you experience your share of frustrations or conflicts or whatever it is. Unfortunately, what happens if you ride a bicycle, you know, you're a bit more vulnerable, and at the same time, you know, when you drive a car, it's that much easier to be disconnected and to be inconsiderate and to kind of lose sight of the discrepancy between the machine you're operating and the machine someone else is operating, or in the absence of a machine, a pedestrian. You know, there's a big discrepancy there. So things happen, and there's conflict. Sure,
absolutely. And you know, I will say this. I am amazed when I'm riding, particularly if I'm commuting to work in the morning, that other people are in a hurry too, right? And they're in their car and they're going, but I'm so surprised how close the folks will pass by you when you're riding your bike. I mean, out where I live in Ohio, some folks have these big panel vans or they have big pickups, and it looks like their mirrors stick off a full, like, you know, a foot and a half from the side of the truck. You think, this is a disaster. And yet, it feels like they'll pass within an inch of my shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem. This is why in some places they're passing laws that you have to give a certain amount of room when you pass. I think there's this kind of false perception you have when you're driving that anybody who's not also in a car is slowing you down somehow. Mm-hmm. Like there's this resentment people have when they have to pass the cyclist, when they have to maybe slow down for just a moment to wait for a safe moment to pass, or when they have to wait for a cyclist to complete a turn like that. There's this perception that this is just this huge imposition. It's just that it's a perception, but it's not accurate. You know, if you're in a car, probably the only people really slowing you down are the other cars. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're stuck in traffic. But unfortunately, people don't have that perspective all the time.
Well, and the funny thing is, in driving in the city, 9 times out of 10, the person that honked and roared by you and had a fit, maybe even flipped you off, about a minute and a half later, you're all at the same light. It's not like he's going anywhere.
Right, exactly. Inevitably, you wind up at the light at the same time, and you haven't held this person up at all. It's exactly my point.
And hopefully, as bike commuters grow in number, much as they are in tons of cities in Europe, I've gone to some cities, I think, man alive, the majority of people here seem to be riding a bike rather than taking a car.
Yeah, I mean, that's certain cities are like that. Look, every city is different, and every city is more conducive to riding than others. And I mean, every city, every person, every place, every city, state, whatever, has its own transportation needs. But you know what you're seeing happening now is for the first time, cities are kind of waking up and realizing you have to integrate these. You have to kind of rework the streets a little bit to take into account that other people are using them. And that's what we're starting to see. And hopefully in time, you know, the fact that everybody's accommodated will make all of this smoother.
Absolutely. In fact, even here in Cincinnati, we've really increased our both bike paths and bike lanes. I have a new park down on the river with bike rental spots. So we're even becoming a bike-centered town. I know there are places that are famous for it, such as Portland, Oregon, New York City now, and lots of college towns. But it's interesting. It's really being embraced here. So two questions, one is a question, the other is a comment that I know you'd have some insight on. So the question is, I'm old enough that I just remember folks ride bikes, they have gears, you go around, you use them for convenience because of hills, and yet I see so many people, young people especially, whether they're in New York or Cincinnati, who go on these non-gliding single-gear bike, and I think, man, that must wear your legs out.
You know, it's like anything, when you're young, you kind of want your thing that you feel like it's yours, and I think it's gotten a lot of younger people new to cycling, mm-hmm. Excited about riding bikes. I think over time, I think a lot of people who pick those bikes up as they become more interested in cycling, they start riding other kind of bikes, maybe mm-hmm. stuff that's a little easier on the legs. You know, they start branching out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that's been a big kind of pop force in the popular culture recently to get younger people riding. So in that respect, it's a nice thing.
Yeah. So the other question is about sort of road, if you will, access and availability. My understanding is that technically, if I'm riding and I'm, you know, on a two-lane road, I can take up my lane if I need to. I don't have to be over running into the gutter or into the, you know, where your tire gets stuck in a drain. Is that the case that you can? I mean, I wouldn't slow down traffic completely. I'd probably get run over. But technically, if we're in the way at a light, we're in the way.
I'm sure there are towns that have their own kind of weird laws I don't really know about. I mean, I've heard of certain towns saying, like, you're on a bike, you have to yield to faster vehicles and all stuff like that. So mm-hmm. I can't make a blanket statement. I mean, for the most part, though, I think most sensible places, that is the case, that as a road user, you have the right to take the lane, as they call it. Look, practically speaking, most of us who ride bikes, we don't particularly feel like we want to be in the middle of the street slowing down traffic if it's really fast and bearing down on us. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to get over if we can. Sometimes it's not safe or optimal to ride over on the side, though. Maybe there's gutters or debris in the gutter, or there's people opening their car doors. So, you know, what it comes down to is you need to be where you're safest and where you feel safest.
Exactly.
And, you know, and again, what's so important about this infrastructure stuff is that, you know, no longer do you have to kind of pick from among all these miserable mm-hmm. places to be, either in the middle of a lane with 50-mile-per-hour traffic mm-hmm. behind you or riding in a gutter filled with broken glass. You know, now we're seeing streets redesigned so that there's a bike lane, there's car lane, there's islands for pedestrians, traffic calming features, all of that stuff.
Exactly. Well, you've been described as the most irreverent, opinionated, and incisively amusing voice in cycling. So thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Okay, thank you for having me.
You bet. My guest has been Eben Weiss, who is better known as Bike Snob NYC. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.